It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Orlando Crowcroft, World Editor at IB Times UK. You're listening to In the Field, our weekly podcast looking at the global stories that matter. This week, I am pleased to say that we have Doug Weed on the line from the US. His new book, Game of Thorns, the inside story of Hillary Clinton's failed campaign and Donald Trump's winning strategy. Doug, great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Orlando. This is great for me.
As we were saying, actually, before we started, we were talking about how you've been doing a lot of publicity around this book. It's been very timely. I'd be fascinated to know, I mean, did you start writing it before you knew that Trump was going to, you know, was looking like he might win?
Yes, I did. And as I was writing it, everybody assumed Hillary would win. So,
oh, wow.
I thought, whoa, some of the things I was writing and discovering and being told by people inside Hillary's camp and from Trump Tower, some of it would have been rather controversial in a Hillary Clinton presidency. So my wife was was a little nervous.
Yeah, I bet, because you don't want to put in all that work and then for Hillary to win. And what would the book have been called then, I wonder?
Well, the book would have been called, First Man, Bill Clinton in Hillary's White House.
Right, interesting.
And it would have been all about the gender reversal and what it would mean for a new first man.
Well, I suppose before we get into all those really fascinating issues, and your book is very much about the Clintons as well as about Trump, could you just, for our listeners who haven't read the book or perhaps haven't even heard of it, could you give them a quick idea about what your kind of central argument is?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a central argument as much as there's a story. It's, you know, the most interesting and controversial political story in American history, for sure. And it's just how it unfolded and how it could happen. I mean, she outstaffed him 5-1. She outspent him 8-1, if you count the soft money. She had academia, and she had Hollywood. She had 240 newspaper endorsements. She had 19. She had corporate America. She had the international global economy. She had the banks. She had 960,000 foot soldiers on the ground to turn out the vote, which was a big improvement over Barack Obama's spectacular ground game of 4 years previous. So Donald Trump just represented a giant vote against what many in America felt was corruption. They wanted someone to turn over the tables.
I sense that a lot of us were taken by surprise. And I mean by us, I mean people in the media particularly. But I guess that you weren't really. I mean, I get the impression that you kind of thought from quite early on that this would be a possibility.
Well, I had been a paid staffer. I'm an old guy, Orlando. I've been a paid staffer on 10 presidential campaigns, and I've seen some of the demographics. And the demographics that drive the media narrative and what academia wants and what drives the reality of the American voter can sometimes be very different. For example, 1% of the American population is Muslim, and no one would dare put out a political YouTube promoting people to vote using the name Muhammad as a curse word. Yet that's exactly what Clinton supporters did to the evangelical Christian vote. They got a bunch of celebrities together on November 4th, 4 days before the election, and using Christian names with profanity and the F word, they urged undecided voters to get out and vote for Hillary. So I saw that some of the demographics weren't adding up. 70% of the country, for example, are Christian. And Barack Obama was nervous about that. He called the Brooklyn headquarters and said, "You're losing the evangelical vote." And their response was, "Who cares?" Well, the evangelical vote was 26. White evangelical vote was 26% of the electorate. African Americans are 12.9% of the electorate. So you get the idea. They were leaving a lot on the table. And Bill Clinton sensed that. He was concerned with the Catholic vote that he felt Hillary was leaving on the table. So it wasn't a complete surprise, but it was a shocker. It's kind of like a 90-year-old father dying. You kind of know it could happen, but you're still surprised when it does.
It's an interesting bit of your book, actually, when you mentioned that Bill Clinton was really worried about this lack of Christian support for Hillary and maybe tried to urge her to kind of step that up, but then that didn't happen.
Yeah, he got so mad after one phone call, he took his cell phone and he tossed it off the roof of his presidential pad at the library, presidential library in Little Rock, Arkansas. He threw it towards the Arkansas River, didn't quite make it, but wow. He was upset because there were these leaked emails. And, you know, today we're hearing it in the news that Russia tried to manipulate the vote. But what was pertinent to Catholic voters was what was in those leaked emails. And the leaked emails showed that after the Clintons came to power, there was a plan to co-opt the Catholic Church and to introduce new doctrines. They referred to it as a Catholic Spring. And these new doctrines would change what Catholics believed about some of the social issues in American politics. And that was so outrageous. Bill Clinton was saying, "You got to get ahead of that. You got to make public statements. No, we're not going to do this," and deny it and denounce it. But her concern and the campaign was, "We're just going to call more attention to it. If we do that, it's better to leave it alone." So those emails, the national media was sympathetic to Mrs. Clinton, wanted her to win. They didn't show these stories, but the emails were passed hand to hand to America's bishops and Catholic leaders, and it was deeply, deeply troubling. And Bill Clinton could see that it was leading to a loss of union white Catholic voters in those seven Rust Belt states.
So there's been an argument that kind of Trump didn't win the election as much as Hillary lost it.
Well, I think that's part of it. Definitely is part of it. And I think that that's what a lot of people believe. Barack Obama certainly believes that. And after the election was over, he made the statement that was quite controversial, that he could have won it. If he was running against Trump, he could have won it. But there are many people who believe that no one else could have beaten Hillary except Donald Trump, that Jeb Bush would have been crushed, that any other Republican would have been crushed, because what turned on the voter to Trump was this unpredictable, the rough edges, he was the class clown. They didn't like everything he said about some of the other kids in the room, but they loved the fact that he was disrupting the class. They felt that America was going the way of Brazil or the Congo, that it was totally corrupt from the top down, that some companies got money from the Federal Reserve, others didn't. Some benefited from import-export, others didn't. Some had to keep environmental regulations, others were exempted. That there was just widespread corruption fueled by money. And the end result was the poor were getting poorer and the rich were getting richer by everybody's standards, University of California, Berkeley study. It didn't matter. It was very clear whether you're on the left or you're on the right. Free enterprise was dead in America. Corruption was in, and the poor were getting screwed. So there was a real sense of outrage among some people who on the left and on the right, and they wanted a change. And so Donald Trump's rough edges were quaintly reassuring to many voters that this guy's going to turn the tables over.
Despite the fact that he is a billionaire, I mean, you know what I mean? He's an unlikely champion for the American poor.
Yeah, it's very true. And yet that was also part of the charm. I mean, after he won the election, for example, here came Boeing, this great corporation saying, okay, give us our $10 billion. And Trump says, wait a minute. Sorry, pal. You come in with a good bid, and if it's on time and it beats it, everybody else, we'll talk about it. But Boeing had given millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. All of her executives had lined up to give the maximum amount in donations to the Clinton presidential campaign. They had given two.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
$1 million to Clinton when she was Secretary of State for the World's Fair in China. They'd given money for the Olympics that she was when she was Secretary of State. So they expected her to win, and they expected the few millions of dollars they'd invested in her to come back into billions of dollars for them. But she didn't win. So there was a sense among some that the fact that he didn't need their money, the fact that he was independently wealthy, made him even more unpredictable to the insiders.
What do you think about the argument that Hillary was kind of sunk by this fake news? You know, these stories about her being on death's door and, you know, being shared by kind of sites like InfoWars and Alex Jones and conspiracy theorists and stuff like this. And what do you think the role of all that was in the election?
Well, I think it could have been diminished, but unfortunately it was fed by mistakes within the campaigns. If Hillary had had more transparency, the one you just mentioned, her health is a very good example, and it was so frustrating that David Axelrod had that great quote. I can't remember it right now. He said something to the effect that antibiotics can cure pneumonia, but what can cure a campaign that has a penchant for secrecy? So you had that misstep where no, nothing's wrong, and then the video of her almost collapsing. Well, she has contagious pneumonia, and then there's the story where she went to her granddaughter's house and played with her granddaughter, and she comes out and is presented a bouquet from another little child. Why is she doing that if she's got pneumonia? Well, it's not contagious pneumonia. We've changed our mind about that. It's not contagious at all. Then the story comes out that three of her staffers have pneumonia too. Yeah. So it was a comedy of errors. So yes, you can blame the fake media, but there was a little responsibility also on the Clinton side to feed those conspiracies with attempts to avoid straight stories.
Yeah. Your background has been in the Republican side of the party, more the right wing of American politics. Am I right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I defiantly hold to that. I suppose I'm just a rebel by nature. But when I go to history conferences, I'm the only person. I'm the only person there that isn't to the left of Karl Marx. So I guess I cling to that as a identity, or to try to even the scales a little bit from in the arguments that I participate in.
So let me ask you, as someone who is of the right and in a kind of Republican background, do you think that Trump is going to be a good Republican president, or do you think it was just opportunistic really from the right in that they got this guy that could beat Hillary?
Yeah, I tend to think that the whole right-left thing has really shifted from those days when you defined the left or right bank of the Seine, and that evolved into this left-right theater in America, conservative, liberal. I think it's more in and out, insider, outsider, and that I see people supposedly on the right making a fortune with the rules, no matter who wins, left or right. The good example of that is in the writing of the book, A Game of Thorns. You'll notice that the exact same donors of Hillary Clinton are the exact same major donors of Jeb Bush. They're identical. And Bush outspent Trump 8-1 in the Republican primary. By all standards, he should have won, but he didn't. And there's a real resentment towards insiders. There's a fear that supply and demand is gone, free enterprise is gone. It's all about gaming the system. And if you don't have good lawyers and a good lobby, you can't survive. And I think it's why the stock market's boomed. I think I describe it as Yellen envy. And that is, there's a certain amount of feeling among some of the big companies that they aren't gaming the system as good as their neighbor is gaming the system, and they yearn to get back to free markets where they can compete with their products. And I think that's part of the excitement right now on Wall Street about Donald Trump.
What do you think? I mean, he's been in power now for 2 months since the inauguration. What do you think of what he's done so far? Because everyone else has kind of sees it as quite chaotic and almost kind of dangerous.
Yeah, he's not a politician, and I think those rough edges are reassuring to his base, actually, that he's not a politician. And I think the news media, the unfairness of some in the mainstream media, it doesn't help their cause. For example, they run stories now. They're at nightly. They're running stories day 5, day 6. He hasn't had a press conference day 6. Well, Hillary Clinton went 300 days between press conferences when she was running for president of the United States. So it's not entirely fair. Then there's the story, well, the guy's crazy. He accuses his predecessor of wiretapping him. Well, Hillary Clinton accused her predecessor, George H.W. Bush, who had been director of the CIA. She was convinced that the White House was bugged. She had the Secret Service do a sweep when Bill Clinton became president. She was first lady. She wasn't satisfied with that. She had the FBI do a sweep and wasn't satisfied with that. Set up her own what was called White House Security Office, and loaded it with and staffed it with personnel from the political campaign. They got a hold of the files of their political enemies. That became a big scandal. It was called Filegate. It was the subject of a congressional investigation. So the media doesn't really balance things out. It on one day they say this guy's paranoid because he thinks he's being wiretapped. 2 days later they tell us that the CIA is looking at all of us through our Samsung television sets. Well, maybe it's very appropriate for him to bring up the subject of who's being listened to when. It might be a good discussion. So his supporters like him, and the rough edges are reassuring. But will that get old? It sure may.
And what about the aspect I'd have to ask you about would be the travel ban? I mean, it's got a lot of publicity here. And you've got a lot of Americans feeling very frightened by this new Trump's America. I mean, do you share those kind of concerns?
Well, as I see it, the ban was on countries that for 90 days on countries that could not demonstrate they could vet their own people. So, you know, there was no ban on Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim population in the world, and no ban on India, with a huge Islamic population greater than all seven nations combined. No ban on Pakistan, with the same. So I don't see it as a Muslim ban personally as much as inefficient bureaucracies in some countries that have broken down. Their bureaucracies have broken down. They can't vet their people. And 90 days seems reasonable to me, regardless of who their religion was. That's my take on it. I know that I can be wrong, and I'm open to hearing other opinions. I have many, many Muslim friends that I dearly love. So for me, it's certainly not about religion.
And I guess so last question, in terms of the book, what would you kind of hope that people take away from it?
Well, it's a great story. It's not written as philosophically. You know, I had more sources inside Hillary Clinton's camp than I did from Trump Tower. And these stories, the tears, the sadness, the joy, some are very disturbing stories, the collusion between the Clintons and Bushes briefly. They're just so many dynamics that you can't find on YouTube and you can't see on television that are in the book. As they say, the book is better than the movie. So there's a lot in it, and it is one of the great stories of our lifetime.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for your time. Good luck with the book launch. And yeah, I hope we speak again soon.
Thank you, Orlando. Appreciate it very much.
Take care. So that's it from In the Field this week. You can check out some of our articles on Donald Trump's first 2 months in office on our website, and we've embedded rich links if you're listening on Acast. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review us. Thanks, and see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.